step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Chase Willie and D-Mace here with you on this Tuesday. Tim Hasselbeck coming up in about 15 minutes. Talking about Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, Ryan Cowden. They have addressed the media as training camp is officially underway. The first practices will be tomorrow for the Tennessee Titans. We'll be out there broadcasting live, the three of us. But several things that have kind of popped up that we want to hit on. You know, we were talking about Derrick Henry a little bit, but both Vrabel and Robinson have talked about Malik Willis and what they're wanting to see out of him in his first training camp in the NFL.
I thought they both gave an honest assessment, which I thought was great. They didn't have to do it, but Derrick, you had virtual verbatim answers to the same question, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, and it was this, that they really like his work ethic. They knew when they drafted him, he was coming from the spread offense, the no huddle, where you actually look to the sideline to get the play. And so that's a Hugh Freege. I can't say it. Freege? Am I thinking of Elliot Friedman? Freege?
The Freege?
The Freege? Good grief. Let's try that again. Hugh Freeze. That's one of the trademarks of his offense. You look at the side, you get the play, and you run it. So he's going into a new world, commanding the huddle. So that was something that they're really working with Malik Willis on, and he was working on that before he was even drafted, right? They knew that when they were trying to get him ready for the draft, the people he – I can't remember the association he partnered with. There was some QB development company that has developed a lot of NFL quarterbacks he was working with pre-draft. Mm-hmm. So he's been working on that. He knows that's a big learning curve, but they like his presence in the huddle. They say they're looking to see, can he get the guys in the right spots?
We have the clip of Robinson talking about Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming in. He's learning a totally new offense. He's throwing to new players from a timing and decision-making standpoint, calling the play in the huddle, taking command of the huddle when he's in there, whoever's in the huddle with him, showing that leadership, which he's shown. I thought that he put the ball where it was supposed to be most of the times during the spring. There were some timing things that he's got to continue to try to improve on. But another guy that's really worked hard in the offseason, certainly when they were here. And, he's had a good couple of days here.
So you can tell, Derrick, from that it's a project, right? And they're no hurry, but they want to see him make those strides, commanding the huddle, getting the guys in the right spot. Mm-hmm. They say he actually has done a good job making the decisions, but the timing and the accuracy have to come along.
Well, that goes back to him learning the speed of the game, essentially. You know, it's yes, you see the guy open, you know where you have to throw it, but this isn't college football anymore. You know, you don't have,
I can
delay for a second and then throw it. No. When you got to throw the guy open, you got to know that you got to read the defense and know that he's open, before he even gets to that spot. And that's what Malik will get better at as practice continues to go. And the good part about it is they don't need him. They don't need him to be
day one
quarterback. Exactly. So you can learn as you go. And I'm pretty sure the accuracy, the decision making will get a lot better as he get more comfortable with what's going on.
Does that signal to you, Chase, that they're bringing him along slow. That doesn't sound like an answer of, hey, we're going to put this side package in to have him come into a game, which, where some people have kind of speculated you could do that.
Well, and, you know, Teron made a really good point the other day when I was I can't remember if it was on this show or Stillman and Company, but if they carry three quarterbacks and Logan Woodside is listed as the backup, if Willis comes in, then somebody either – like somebody can't go back in. You can only – I think that was a rule that was in place. I don't know if it's still in place, but that, you know, you can't just like rotate through all three. That may not be the case anymore, but I do remember that being – being something if you went to the third. Now, they could list him as, you know, maybe a different position, or I don't know how that works, because, I mean, we've seen the Saints do that and obviously make it work. But I still think they're carrying three quarterbacks. Like, I don't think Willis is going to be the backup. I think they want Woodside to be the backup for this team. But it does kind of sound like, at least early on, you probably won't see a ton of Malik Willis packages maybe as they go along.
No, I don't think you will. You know, he is the third string quarterback for a reason right now. And, you know, they're not looking for him to, you know, if something happens to Ryan, to be that next guy up. Now, if it does happen through training camp that he shows, hey, listen, I have completely outplayed Woodside, then you put him ahead of him. You have no choice but to. But I think at this juncture, they feel comfortable with him being the third-string quarterback and allowing him to have his growing pains behind the scenes rather than something happens to Ryan, he's the second quarterback, and now the world sees the growing pains. They don't want that to happen because that could damage a young quarterback's ability to go out there and be productive.
Robinson was also asked, or M. Vrabel was asked about Treylon Burks, rookie wide receiver. He's been asked a couple times. Robinson asked if Treylon Burks needs to replace A.J. Brown. He says, quote, Treylon needs to get open, catch, and block, end quote.
Well, you knew that you were going to get answers like that. I did think, though, that John Robinson did open up a little bit of insight on what has happened from the OTAs where everybody was up in arms. Let's be honest, that was about as big a story as there was in the OTAs minicamp part of the season, was why the heck can't this guy finish practices day after day? And they had to come clean, right? Towards the end, it was the position coach that said, yeah, he's got asthma. And so there's been a whole saga of that. But to his credit, I like that Robinson at least provided us with this insight that Treylon Burks assessed that he's got some stuff he's got to work on. He's attacked that stuff. He's gotten himself as ready as possible, and so far, so good. The 2 days so far have gone okay, and I guess they've got their fingers crossed that a third day, a fourth day, they can string them together.
Yeah, they want him to be in a position that he can help this ball club early on. And I think a lot of that is predicated on whether he can be out there physically. You know, I don't think he will have a problem at learning the playbook, because I think he will put in the work to learn it, because he understands the stakes right now. He understands that they drafted him in the first round. He understands that regardless of what everybody and anybody says, he is the replacement for A.J. Brown.
Right.
Regardless,
you're not going to hear
the coaches
say that. You're certainly not going to hear them fall into that trap, but everybody knows it. He's the guy that is expected to get into that role.
Absolutely.
That's unfortunate and fortunate for him at the same time. I mean, that comes with being drafted in the first round with the NFL, in the NFL draft, but they made that trade and then used the pick for him. So his entire career, his entire time with the Titans, he's going to have that. Just like Corey Davis had to fight the fifth overall pick stuff, he's now going to have this stacked against him, whether, like you said, the coaches want to deny it or not. Treylon Burks knows that that's what he has to do. Now, if he shows up and he does his job, and I'm not saying he has to ball out in his rookie year, but if he has a good season and you see a lot of progress and then it just gets better and better, it goes away. It's not a big issue.
But what would be nice is if Robert Woods could almost become the number one, at least the first year.
I think that's what they want.
To give Treylon Burks the opportunity to kind of move up and graduate into that number one. For him to be number one day one, that's a lot to expect, even for a guy that didn't have any issues or anything like that. So Woods being 90% and being able to do almost everything except for a drill here, that's encouraging. That tells me that there is a chance that Woods could be ready to go full bore week one, which I wasn't sure about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're sort of – it's the same sort of dynamic with Malik Willis, whereas, you know, you don't look for Malik Willis to be your number two. Definitely not number one, but you expect him to progress and get better behind the scenes. Well, you don't expect Treylon right now to be your number one, but you expect him, you know, to be the number two and get better as camp go on. So eventually he can be that number one. Well, eventually Malik can graduate from the number three to the number two, and then eventually, I know he wants to be the starting quarterback, meaning Malik Willis.
Did they talk about that, D-Mace, in a wide receiver room? You're the number one, or when the offense is meeting, here's our number one, here's our number two. I get asked that question a lot for hockey.
Like, that's a great question.
Do they actually call it the first line? Like, when you walk in and you see a team have their lineup on the board, it is listed, line one, line two, line three, line four. It doesn't mean you have to utilize them in a certain way, but is that a term that's used in a wide receiver room?
Well, what happens is, say if I'm just a new rookie coming in, and, you know, the position coach usually when practice starts, so like when everybody's there, OTA, say, okay, let's say when the rookies are there and I'm a part of the rookie class, well, they project me as an X, so they put me in the X position, but then they will put me either a starter at the X or a backup at the X, depending on who else is in the room. So when the veteran,
what is X?
That X is the X receiver who's on the ball. Typically, he's away from the strength of the formation.
So is that typically where you put your number one receiver? Is
no,
X?
It depends.
Well, because I mean, you were all over the field.
I was X. I was predominantly an X on the ball, but you could be in a Z. You could be, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just how they view you as a ball club. So, but then once the veterans come in, typically, you walk in the room, you'll see, okay, this is where I'm at, and okay, now I get to work from there.
We'll continue to discuss some of the things that were said today at St. Thomas Sports Park training camp. Players have reported it is officially open, but coming up next, we're going to talk to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. We'll get his thoughts on some of the things we've been discussing here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. And we say hello to Tim Hasselbeck. We got to teach Nick about Tim's theme. That's on me, but we'll do that. Timmy, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. We just listened to Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, Titans general manager John Robinson addressed the media, and we've been talking about Malik Willis because they were both asked about him and just his progression. We're glowing about the work that he's put in the spring and then showing up to training camp. And, you know, we've batted around with you before. Do you put him in with some design packages? The vibe we got was they're letting him grow. They're not going to put too much pressure on him early on. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, probably both things can happen, right? I mean, I think if the idea is, hey, look, we want him to be a traditional quarterback. We don't want him to feel like, you know, there's only certain things that he can do. But I think both things can happen at the same time, right? And you can install your offense. You can have, you know, Malik learn that stuff, you know, probably with, you know, kind of the second group of guys for the most part. And then ultimately, you know, there may be some things that are just natural fits where, you know, his skill set is unique as a runner, you know, already that, you know, maybe that's something that can happen. But I would say that those types of things probably don't start to really show themselves until you're actually game planning during the regular season, which, you know, you're just not doing at this time of year as you're in training camp and getting ready for preseason games.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us. Okay, and here's another thing we've been batting around today. You look at last year's roster on offense for the Titans. Obviously, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. You had Derrick Henry for half the year. You had a solidified offensive line that included Roger Saffold. Now you fast forward to this year. AJ's in Philly. You've added Treylon Burks. You've added Robert Woods. You've upgraded the tight end position, you hope, with Austin Hooper and drafted Chig Okonkwo. But the offensive line remains a very big question. Do you think that the offense around Ryan Tannehill going into training camp for the Titans is better or maybe still incomplete?
I think it's better. And that doesn't mean necessarily like it's better at every spot. But I think that we, and you probably remember, Chase, you know, I was, you know, fairly skeptical about like the Julio Jones signing. Yes, for, you know, for a variety of reasons. And so like when I look at the roster now, I feel like I'm looking at a roster, you know, around Ryan Tannehill that, you know, maybe there's not a, not maybe, you know, there's not an A.J. Brown. But I think Robert Woods is a really nice addition. And I think that Austin Hooper, you know, is probably an upgrade at position. And, you know, Derrick Henry should be healthy. So, you know, I think you look at those things with, you know, a fair amount of continuity in, on the offensive line. Like, I think it's better. And so I think that the expectation would be that there's more consistency.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN analyst. Tim, that question, you know, was asked to Vrabel, and he sort of dodged it in a good way. Because
Coach speak.
Exactly. So he didn't want to get into the, hey, this roster's better or the people around him are better. And then we get into the season and it's totally something different. But what he did say is, listen, I'm not going to base my team on talent. I want to coach this team up and get them to where, essentially get them to where they need to be. And then hopefully, you know, mixed with their talent and our coaching, this will be the best roster that we've had since I've been there. And I told the guys, I said, listen, he was on teams that probably wasn't the most talented, but they were the best coached, and they end up winning championships because. So do you see it that way in regards to what Vrabel said?
Well, you know what? I hadn't considered that, D. Mason. I think it's actually a really good point because I don't think there's any doubt that you could look at teams that he played on, maybe even some teams that he coached, you know, when he was assistant other places, where they maybe felt like, look, we prefer to have that tight end than the tight end we have, or we prefer to have that wide receiver than the one we have. However, the guy we have, we like. We think he's really good. We've identified things that he's excellent at doing, and we're going to get the most out of that. And, you know, maybe he even experienced that as a player where, you know, he maybe, you know, was a guy who was like, look, I'm not as maybe not the same type of pass rusher as that guy is, but I'm a good football player. And in the system that, you know, he played in New England, you know, he might feel like they got the most out of him, you know, like that very well could be the, you know, the posture that he takes into, you know, how he's going to coach his team is, and we've heard, you know, Belichick kind of, you know, talk about, look, I don't want to hear from assistant coaches about what a guy can't do. Like, tell me what he can do and how that fits the stuff that we are trying to do. So, yeah, I think that I think it's a healthy posture to have. I think it's probably how he feels about it.
Now, he also, there was a question of, asked of him of workload, and more importantly, in regards to Jeffrey Simmons. And he said, listen, everybody has a, you know, we have this plan for everybody. And I, when I'm listening to it, I'm like, listen, Jeffrey Simmons is a young guy. He's 23 years old. He doesn't need to be sitting out of practice. It's not like he's been in the NFL 6-7 years. He's finishing up, what, his third year in the NFL or starting his third or fourth year in the NFL. Why is it that he's not coming off an injury? Why is it that you have to have a plan for him to miss days when he hasn't put in enough hours to even warrant that?
Yeah, that Look, that's a great question. Who knows? I mean, he's a guy who did tear his ACL in college. Maybe, you know, there's – and you know this too, mm-hmm. D-Mace. I mean, there are – I've talked to some coaches that are like, you know, now with some of the sports science stuff that we do, like the – like we'll have – you know, we'll go through like some practice.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Tim? Is he on the south side?
He might be in the west wing again.
Oh, boy.
I thought he might have been in the south wing.
Based on the information we're getting, so whether it's his hydration level or amount of work he's had or amount of sleep he's had or whatever it is, we have targeted him as somebody that's at risk of, you know, pulling a hamstring. Mm-hmm. And so we're shutting him down right now. Like, that is happening. It's a very different world from probably, you know, the vast majority of, you know, your audience that's listening. I probably, you know, your experience, D-Mace, as a player, certainly mine as a player. But, like, that is happening now. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways it's probably for the better. But I also think in some ways, or I know in some ways, there are coaches that have become really frustrated by it, but they're doing it in an effort, you know, to keep their team as healthy as possible with the information that we know now, kind of like, hey, we're going to train smarter, not just train harder.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we got Derek's perspective on this, but there's so many people that, in a perfect world, would love to see Treylon Burks be the number one his rookie year, Robert Woods be the perfect number two, which he sort of has been in his previous spot with the Rams. I had somebody, though, earlier this summer kind of tell me, maybe you should look at it differently. Maybe it's more Woods that mm-hmm. should be number one early. Let Burks be the number two. That's more realistic. But in the quarterback room, how does that work, the role definition of who's the one, who's the two?
Yeah, well, one, I would have answered it differently. I would have answered it one, Woods one, Burks two. I mean, that's how I would have answered it. How it works in the quarterback room, quite honestly, is – it's like, look, that guy wins. That guy is where he's supposed to be, and he catches the ball. Like, you know, I don't think that it's one of these situations where it's ever anointed to somebody. I mean, I think it's kind of just it literally happens, you know, organically. Like, I kind of give you, you know, like I'll give you this example. Like, when, you know, when I got to the Giants, Amani Toomer had been there a long time, been a very good player, and, you know, was a guy that really could be moved all around. They signed Plaxico Burress. Like, Plaxico became the one because he won more. You know what I mean? He won more of his opportunities, and the quarterback felt super comfortable with him. And so, you know, all things being equal, that's where he was going with the football. You know, nobody had to say, hey, he's going to be our number one now. I think it really, you know, ends up being guys get opportunities. When you take advantage of those opportunities, you end up getting more. And so I think that's how to work out. I could be wrong. You know, I think the start Treylon Burks has had, you know, probably influences, you know, why I would say that I think if, you know, Woods is healthy, that he would kind of appear to be the number one guy. But maybe it is Treylon Burks.
Last thing, what do you read into the independent study clause in the Kyler Murray contract? It's very interesting to read about. It's like you can't play video games. Like, independent study is no TV on, no other people in there. You're working. So what do we read in?
I don't think there's much room for interpretation here. Chris Mortensen had a report. I mean, listen, Chris Mortensen had a report around the Super Bowl that there was concerns about his leadership and work ethic, being selfish and not being, not having the work ethic and study habits that they would want out of a starter. I mean, that was Mort's report around the Super Bowl, as people were kind of forecasting that he was going to get a new contract. And, you know, there were some people that have been screaming recently that was just the team at the time using Mort to, you know, drive down the value of Kyler Murray, which is complete nonsense. And I think, you know, what it goes to tell you is that Mort's reporting on it was accurate. He'd been in the business a long time, and he's broken a lot of stories, and his reporting is accurate on it. So accurate that even though Kyler Murray is getting, you know, guaranteed $160 million, there are concerns about the effort that he's putting into being the starting quarterback. Like, that's what that says to me. The fact that he agreed to it means that it's an issue. So that's, you know, that's the reality of that situation. I think in some ways, not in some ways, I think it completely validates Mort's reporting, which he took a lot of heat for around the Super Bowl.
Tim Hasselbeck joins us every week. Tuesdays, today, is when you joined us. But appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again next week.
Cool. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on the show. We'll touch on a lot of what he just said.
Yeah, the Kyler Murray, that is a really interesting story.
And we'll
the
also,
details are out on what that means, that independent study.
We'll also have a chance for you to win tickets to see Elton John coming up. You're going to have to answer some trivia questions again, and we have
a good trivia question. D-Mace has come up with a really good one.
It's a very good one.
It's a doozy. It's a wing dinger.
It is. We will do that.
Elton John.
We will do that coming up next on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
Can you tell I like trivia? I do. I like trivia. I thought I was a game show host. We got a quiz trivia bowl coming up as well next month that we're going to be telling you about, a little coming attractions. If you suffer from joint pain, from arthritis, injury, hips, knees, whatever it might be specifically, you probably know about the traditional treatments. You've maybe been through it before. Pain meds, steroids, combination, maybe surgery. But here is some really good news. There's a great new way out there, and it's here now with QC Kinetics, local medical professions, nation's leader in regenerative medicine. This is an advanced, exciting, natural alternative that can give you that lasting relief from the joint pain using your body's own healing power. Regenerative medicine does that restoring and repairing that you need to get out there and be active. No drugs, no downtime, no surgery. So you owe it to yourself. Explore this. It might be for you. They can address any pain in any joint and give you that quality of life you're looking for. Call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics now, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
We are brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Nick Kieser behind the glass. You just asked him about this Kyler Murray situation, and he signed a new contract. There's a clause or an amendment.
Addendum.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's Monday. I mean, it's Tuesday. We're still trying to get our stuff together here.
Yeah, definitely are.
Feels like Monday.
That requires him to study film for 4 hours per week during the season to stay in compliance with his new deal. Now, I've never heard of anything like this before, but, I mean, he could default, was it $230 million if he doesn't study film?
A breach of addendum could result in the contract being defaulted. I don't know if it'll get to that. But Tim made a really interesting point. Uh-huh. Kyler Murray agreed to take this. So
which
somewhere
means
in here, he's acknowledging he's got to get better in this area. But they got very specific in this addendum. So this independent study means, I mean, you are studying. It's like a coach saying, you've got to be in mandatory study hall. I'm taking your phone. There's no TV.
This would be something that might, like, if I was a student still, uh-huh, or even, you know, even now, like, I basically, Chase, you don't pay attention, you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
This like, would be that, something I would
like
have.
Our rule at Vanderbilt basketball was, a freshman, you had to be in mandatory study hall. If you uh-huh did well enough in school, you earned the right to get out of that. But if you struggled, they'd put you back in there,
yeah,
to where, okay, you're in here, we're making you study. Like, mm-hmm, if you have good enough grades and you understand, then you've earned that right. But it sounds to me like he was maybe not fully paying attention. They caught him doing some of these things. They mentioned explicitly watching TV, playing video games, or surfing the internet. And they're like, it doesn't count.
And that doesn't mean...
So how much do you see this?
And that doesn't mean at home. They're talking specifically in the building, when we're in meetings and I am, as a coach, going over game plans or installation, we call it install, you are, because everybody has a tablet and they can track what you're doing on his tablet.
So if you're surfing the net.
So if I'm surfing the net while the coach is installing, or I'm playing a video game while the coach is installing, that's a red flag, especially at that position. You know, the wide receiver, tight end, you know, maybe they can sort of get away with it every now and then. But
a maybe a veteran as opposed to a younger player.
But a quarterback can't. You just can't, because you're responsible for all 10 people, including yourself, which is 11. You're responsible to know what everybody's doing. You're responsible to know what all 11 guys are doing on the defensive side of the ball when you're playing them. So if I'm responsible for all of this, I cannot be sitting on my tablet playing video games at no point when I'm in a classroom while the coach is installing. And obviously, they've ran across this with Kyler Murray, which is mind-boggling to me as a former player. Like, you're the quarterback. Yeah. You can't be doing that.
No, I know. But, like, so that was exactly what I was going to say, that clearly they've had some history with this, and this is a problem. Now, that's alarming, you know, like you're saying, because he's a starting quarterback. But, you know, you kind of – if you start looking at Kyler and how he's conducted himself as a pro, and you know, last year and then going into this season, he kind of pitched a hissy fit. That he gets the new contract. It kind of fits the personality of you just really have to stay on him to do some of the, as Trent Dilfer called it, the quiet time.
He's a guy that needs guardrails.
Yeah.
And this is how these coaches feel, a lot of them. As a grown man, an adult, I shouldn't have to give you guidelines. You should, again, I said this yesterday, it's a privilege to be one of 32 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. These are not just given to you. You got to earn them. I understand sometimes when you draft a guy first overall at the quarterback position, you want him to be the starter. But if he doesn't show that he can be the starter, he's not going to be. So it's a privilege and an honor to be recognized as one of 32 starting NFL quarterbacks in the National Football League, and college as well. Obviously, it's more in college, but still. And if you don't approach it in a professional manner at that position, well, heck, all positions, but especially at the quarterback position, then why do we have you? Why are you on this team? Because what you're showing is the other guys on this roster, the other quarterbacks on this roster, they're like, man, you let Kyler get away with it. Man.
It sets the tone.
Exactly.
It sets the tone for everything else. That's why I'm really curious. He's 25. Yep. He's still young enough to where maybe he can look himself in the mirror and say, you know what, if I'm going to get better and my team's going to get better, I have to acknowledge that I need to be better with these things. That's the question. Or was he forced, and it's all about, well, I got to get the money? Because he sort of forced the issue with the contract, too.
Yep.
Well, this shows me that whoever was his quarterback coach at Oklahoma allowed him to do this. Yeah, because he had the talent to play.
Yeah, because, you know, you deal with it for 3-4 years, exactly. And then they're gone.
So he built bad habits.
Yep, he did. Okay, time for you got to work for it, to attempt to win tickets to see Elton John coming here to Nashville at Nissan Stadium on Sunday, October 2nd. 615-737-1025. You must load up the lines. You must participate. We're going to do Titans trivia.
Can't text it. Can't text.
Cannot text. We're going to do Titans trivia coming up next here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save